Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful time together this morning. Lord, we just sense your presence here to encourage us and to take us forward in you. We just thank you, Lord. You take the lonely and you put us in families. And Lord, this is your family. We are your body and we're rejoicing in you today, Lord. We're not doing the works of just being an organization. We truly are your family and your presence is here. And Lord, now will you encourage us through your word? May every one of us be changed today, Lord, as we hear what you are saying to us. May it not just be a nice message, but Lord, may it be something that will stir us to go forward in you now. We ask for your anointing today on all of us, in those that are hearing, and even myself, Lord, as I preach, may I preach your words today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just wanted to say, it's very important to be what we're part of. We're not just in isolation as a local church. We're part of New Covenant Ministries International, and we had the Gauteng Equip, and they had it right through the country. And you know, with this whole COVID thing, things have had to change. So it has to go to smaller locations, and I'm not certain the exact amount, but there must have been over 60 venues that the Equip was taking place throughout South Africa, and many people preaching, and it actually has impacted more people than us getting into one area at one time. People were online, people were in person. It was an incredible time, and if you want to get some of the stuff as a recorded, we can be sending out some of those links, and you can still go and hear some of those things that were said there. They've been a very impactful time. But as we continue through the letter to the church at Philippi, the title of the message is Working in Team Today. I just want to remind you, even when we find ourselves and things might be getting easier, but never forget to rejoice in the Lord. I think that's such an important thing, because we can live this life and we can seemingly things can be working well on the outside, but our hearts have to rejoice in the Lord. And that's something, yes, God gives us joy, but my understanding of the word rejoice is a verb. And you have to choose to rejoice in the Lord, because you, as was said earlier, you can be downcast, but God doesn't want you to be downcast. He wants you to be full of joy and rejoicing in him and find this joy in life that God has given us. Because so many people in life are downcast and they're concerned about life and it's about what's happening in this nation and the politics and all those things. And those things are real, but God wants us to find our joy in him. So if you're turning your Bibles, please, and get your Bibles out, whether it's on your phone or physically, I do encourage you to bring your Bible with. It's important, whether it's electronic or physical, it's really good to have a Bible with you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 to 30, please. I haven't thought it necessary to send you Epaphras, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near death. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but also me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, that I might be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So the context of this portion of Scripture is that Paul's writing from Rome in prison. He's awaiting his trial. He's not certain about his future. And yeah, Epaphras was one of the people that he met in Philippi when he got the Macedonian call came. He met him there, and Paul had to flee for his life there, but landed up eventually in prison here now in Rome. But here, the church in Philippi had such a concern for Paul and realized, you know, in those days when it came to prison, it wasn't a glorified hotel. You landed up in prison and your needs weren't met. You landed up there, and if you had no food and no one gave you food and no one visited you, you starved. And in prison today, they feed you and they provide bedding and they provide clothing for you. But in those days, others had to come. And here the church in Philippi sends a gift of money to Paul in prison. Now, they didn't have a banking system like we have today. There was no electronic transfer, bank account, seamless, ting ting, and it's there, just a clearance that's go through for security. Someone had to bring this money. And here's Epaphras takes on this burden to be a messenger for the church at Philippi, and he starts to travel. It's quite a distance from there to get to Rome from Philippi in the Mediterranean, the northern Mediterranean. And in those days, as we're facing today, there were thieves on the road. And they came and they would steal. And in that time, you couldn't hide the money. You had to carry it on you. So that it was fraught with danger. And as he said, he risked his life to bring this gift from the church at Philippi. So Epaphras went there with carrying not only the money, but carrying the heart of the church in Philippi. And he comes and he brings this gift. And this is the context that Paul responds and talks about Epaphras. So firstly, my first point is that I want to talk about Epaphras. I want to go, and then I want to talk about Paul working in team and us working on team and on in team and on team. So my first point, Epaphras, Philippians 2 verse 25. I thought it necessary to send you Epaphras, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my needs. So here Epaphras has come from Philippi, now in Rome, and Paul's in a place to send him back to the church in Philippi to encourage them. So what is Epaphras when we look at this? It seems like someone, you said, I just put my hand up to do that, but there's more to who Epaphras was. Epaphras was a brother. He was a brother in Christ. So he was family. And Paul recognized him as a brother in Christ. And that's an important thing, because we must realize that when God calls you out of the world into the light and into his kingdom, God places us in families. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think that's a very important thing and a reality that we need to work out. We're not just members of a church. In essence, the Bible doesn't say we're members of God's household, but we're not members of a church. We are brothers and sisters together in Christ. So you need to know that. And then it says here that Epaphras was a fellow worker. You don't come into the church to sit and be observer. You come into the church to work. God puts you to the plow. You know, there's a sense that God puts seed in our hand, and we've got to be like farmers, and we've got to plow the ground, we've got to sow the seed, and there's work to be done in and through his church. And I want to encourage you, Epaphras was in the place, he was a worker, he came to work, and I want to encourage you that you need to be a worker. Then it says he was a fellow soldier. And that's the scary part, that we think we never enlisted ourselves to be in an army, but you are part of the army of God. I know those days, those early days that we were conscripted into the South African army, I never had a choice, and they got your ID number and they gave you a number. I remember they used to come around to the school, and I don't want to give my number, I might have forgotten it, but I remember it ended with BT. And you were conscripted to the army and you had to go and learn to be a soldier. And you know, when you arrived in the military, he thought, now we've got the uniform and stuff, like, now I'm a soldier. And I remember my first corporal saying to you are not a soldier until you are trained to be a soldier. And the reality here also, Epaphras was a fellow soldier. So there's a warring, there's an outworking of being a soldier. We are at war. There's an enemy that needs to be fought. And not only is there a defensive thing, but there's an offensive thing. And yeah, Epaphras was in a place as a fellow soldier. And then he was a messenger. He carried the message. He carried the heart of the church of Philippi. And so do we. We are messengers that carry the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God hasn't put us in a place to keep our mouths quiet. We are to speak, and a lot of us like to speak, and I don't want to tell you, but let's make sure the message that we're speaking is not something of the world, but it's really the testimony of Jesus that we carry. So we all got different personalities, we got different flavors of what we look like, what we do, and how we express ourselves. Don't change that. God's given you that personality type. Be who you are, but make sure the intention of your heart as you communicate, the message you carry is the gospel of Christ. And I ask you even today, as I mentioned this thing, when did you share Christ with someone lately? Not just to be nice to them and caring to them, but when last did you share Christ with someone? Tell them that Jesus loves them, and allow your life to be a testimony in that. And then a minister, Epaphras was a minister, he came with a dispenser of gifts. And God has given you gifts by the Holy Spirit. As you come into his church, there's a role that every one of us actually has to give the gift of God to others. And that's an incredible responsibility. I've even a role here today, is that I've come to impart a gift to you that God has given me to give to you. And we've got to be receiving that gift, but also you have an ability to give gifts. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are incredible gifts that are given to the church, but not only to the church, but given to mankind. And we need to be those dispensers of those gifts. So Epaphras gets to a place, he lands up in Rome, and it says he fell ill and nearly came close to dying. And in those days, I don't believe they had medical aids. They didn't have fancy hospitals. Yes, there were doctors around, but the medical skill wasn't great. And they had the recipes, the natural recipes, but they had to trust God to actually for healing in those times. But he got sick. Epaphras got sick. So I want to just say is that Christians, even though Christ is living inside you, sometimes you are subjected to this world and you might get sick. It's a reality. And I know the gospel that preaches that, well, no, we live above sickness, I don't believe it's a reality. Sickness actually comes to all of us, and we've got to be wise and when we're doing that. So I'm not saying that we must stay sick. We've got to ensure that we remain and get into a place and walk in divine health. But the reality, sometimes sickness will come to you. And you know, it's a divine opportunity. And I don't know if Viv wants to share. Viv had issues with clots in her heart, in her lungs this last week, and we prayed. And God has healed her. She's been to the pulmonologist and the cardiologist. They can't find anything. So we're just rejoicing God that God heals, but we are subject to a world that's full of darkness, and sometimes sickness comes. You know, with this COVID, Christians have died because of COVID. We're not immune to these things. We're really not, but we have God on our side, and he's the one that actually heals us. So, but we need to be trusting on God's word, where the scripture says in Isaiah, by his stripes we were healed. And I think, you know, there's something when sickness does come against your body, please don't run to the doctor first. Run to Jesus. Run to him. Trust his word. Come to the elders. Let us pray for you. I'm not saying do not go to the doctor, but I'm doing say let's go to God first. And let's stand and let's contend for God. God's word is true. It's yea and amen. And by his stripes we were healed. And then in Epaphras, out of this whole thing, we see is that he was, in his humanness, that's why Paul was sending him back to Philippi. He missed his family, and that's why Paul said, well, let me send you back and go be with your family. He was homesick. He got into a place that there was anxiety. And I want to just say, as a Christian, there's a way out of anxiety through prayer. We get out of anxiety through prayer, but anxiousness will come against you. Who has never experienced anxiety here? If you say no, you're a liar. Because we all experience anxiety, but you've got to have a coping mechanism to actually overcome it. And the Bible tells us very clearly, we're going to get that later in Philippians 4, to be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, making your requests known to God. That's how you deal with anxiety. And that's how we help others to deal with anxiety. So you're not evil, and you're not something else if you've experienced anxiety. But the problem is society doesn't know how to deal with it. And one of the biggest sicknesses, apart from what we've seen in the world that making this big thing about COVID, is stress. Stress is killing more people than anything else, because it brings sickness to your body. Because of that, because God's given us a way to get out of that. So I just say to you, we are human, even though we are in Christ, and we need to be standing on God's word. God gives us a way to trust him and allow Christ to work through us going in that. Secondly, Paul worked in team. And when we look at Paul and we look at his attributes of his calling, what God had called him to as he works in this team. So firstly, Paul was an apostle. God raised him up. God called him out of darkness. He was a persecutor of the church. He was killing Christians. And he got to this place where God said, well, you're going to be apostle. And what does apostle do? Apostle goes to establish the kingdom of God in places where you are sent. So that was an apostle. Apostle replicates the kingdom that he represents, and that's what he was doing. Paul was replicating the kingdom of God wherever he went. He was a preacher. And when I'm talking about these, I'm talking about us, that we need to be holding on to some of these things. There's everyone is not an apostle, but everyone has something of God's calling upon their lives. And we need to replicate what God's put in our hearts where we find ourselves. Paul was a preacher, and we all need to be preachers. And he brought the revelation of the gospel to wherever he found himself, the revelation that he had of Jesus. And I want to just say, before you can preach, you need a revelation of Jesus. Every single one of us needs a revelation of Jesus. You need to know your Lord and Savior. It's not just to confess him as Lord and Savior. You need to know him, because when you know him, you can preach him. You see, we preach the scripture, but your life reveals him even more. And that's the revelation. When you have an intimate personal relationship with him, that's what he wants to reveal through you. So we need to be preaching. Paul was a pioneer, and he was going to places where the gospel had never been preached before, and he was going. And that pioneering spirit has got to come back to us as a church. You know what COVID, in my estimation, has done? Has made us comfortable and has made us complacent and has made us fearful, is that we don't want to go out and pioneer anymore. And I wanted to say, we've got to get up again and we've got to start pioneering, especially for the kingdom of God, and to be getting out. It's getting into new places, getting into what God has put in our heart, and we've got to be in that place of going forward. The thing of pioneering is such a key thing. You know, us South Africans, we are a special bunch. Do you know that? Because we actually have a pioneering heart. As a nation, as a people group, we have a pioneering heart. May we never lose that. You know, when that prophecy that came about the church, and that God will stir fire over the church and burn fire, and these fires will be going, there's a pioneering spirit upon our nation. You know, the Voortrekkers, they had such a pioneer. They left the oppression they were because they were going to preach the gospel. That's actually, if you understand the history of the thing, they were leaving because of their religious freedom. They were leaving. They were pioneers in that. And I want to say that spirit is upon us as a nation, as people, black and white, all of us. There's a pioneering spirit upon this nation. May we never lose what God's given, and especially to us as a church. May we never lose that ability to go and pioneer with the gospel. Paul was a teacher. He was a gifted teacher. He taught the scriptures, and he did on-the-job training with people about the aspects of Christ. And I want to just say there's a role that every one of us, that we need to be teaching in some place in our lives. We need to be encouraging others and revealing the Word of God. And I just want to encourage you, what the Lord's laid upon our hearts and what's working through Quentin and Renette as we start in this discipleship group here, and we're encouraging people, it's seemingly in the basics. But the truth of the matter is that we all need to be teaching others Christ. And this is a tool, and I really want to encourage you. And we have a vision, is that everyone in this family will not only be discipled, but be a discipler and be able to teach people, other people. And we want to put tools in your hands. We want to give you training that you will encourage others, and that you will take people out for a coffee and you'll sit at a table and you will teach them Christ. It's not just to be puffed up, but it's rather to be go out there and teaching others about the Lord. And then Paul was a team leader. He cared for people. He had a large number of associates and co-workers. If you read through the scriptures, there were men and women on his team, and there are about 30 names of people in the New Testament that worked together with Paul at one time or another. So it's incredible. He realized that he couldn't do it by himself, and God raised him up, not only to apostle to bring the gospel, but to be a team leader and to work with people and to send people. And that's what's happened. I don't know if you understand NCMI. And NCMI is a grouping of men and women that work together to actually impact the churches and to bring life to the churches and to bring equipping to the churches. And that is called a translocal team. And I'm part of, Nikki and I have the privilege of being part of that team, who's led by Tyron and Nicole Daniel, who live in America, initially started by Dudley Daniel and Ann Daniel. And that is a team that actually is being used by God to actually go and encourage the church to go out there and to bring the church to a place of oneness and unity and to the knowledge of the Son of God and to bring them to maturity. And that is such a key thing, is there is a team, but there's a team also that within the church that we need to see. And that's also Paul's heart, is to see the church grow, because through that translocal work, through team ministry. Then Paul had incredible organizational skills. There wasn't just this aspect of being super spiritual. There was organization. He wrote letters. He brought greetings. He brought commendation. He encouraged the church through what he was doing. He was organized and he brought instructions. He was leading from the sidelines. So, you know, so often we think that the church just comes together and plonk and it happens. There's much organization behind the church. You know, if I don't think a lot of you comprehend what actually happens behind the scenes to facilitate what you see here. It's enormous. You know, I remember Robbie coming back on his first day and we were just going through the work and saying what goes behind the scenes. And I remember his words saying, "Sure, I don't know if I can do this." Remember that, Robbie? Hey? There's an enormous amount of work behind the scenes and organization, administrative structure that takes place. You even know in your own family, you know, even in the organizations that you work in, if you're not strong administratively, things fall down. Am I right? And that's a bit discipline that we all need to have. And same with the church. Paul had these strong organizational skills. And then thirdly, this aspect that we take out of this, of Paul showing us the way of team is a vital aspect of his church. Do you know God is a team? The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are in absolute unity. And if you go and read the scriptures, you will see that Jesus and the Holy Spirit actually work together with God the Father. And Jesus even said, "I don't do anything of my own will. I only say what my Father tells me to say." Same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only conveys what has been discussed and worked out in the Godhead, in the sovereignty of God, and he speaks only those things. So there's an incredible, incredible, in the Godhead, there's this incredible unity and this incredible working of teamwork. Now Christ comes to live inside of us, and that's got to be replicated. And God never just put us in a church to just be isolated and to be kept alone. He puts us in this in his church to work as a team. And over the years that I've been serving the Lord and walking with the Lord, if I see how God actually works, he doesn't work through lone rangers. He works in team. And it's a tough one because team will actually challenge you. You know, the first team, after once you're born, God brings you into a family and you've got to work with mom and dad and you've got to work out these things and there's discipline and you've got to make your bed and you've got to brush your teeth and all those things and there's get up on time, and that's where a lot of the conflict actually comes when the disciplines of home life start to take place. But that's team. Home is a team. The husband and wife is a team, and then the family working together is a team, and then you get married and you get children and you've got to replicate all these things. But then God puts you in a workplace and you start to earn money, and all of a sudden there's some ugly people in the company that don't always speak nicely to you and actually expect a lot of you. And all of a sudden you realize, am I going to be a team player or I'm going to be with standing? And you quickly learn if you're not a team player, you start losing. I remember even in the army, you know, the army was even a team player. If is Mikey's believe Psalm Vakni, there was trouble. When you didn't work together with your team, your platoon, and that, they actually broke you down and they made you run, and they wanted to get you to a place where you work together as a team. I'll tell you a story. I did an officer's course in Kimberley Intelligence School, and they really tried to break us. And but it got to the end, and the corporals came on a Saturday morning, and our Saturday morning was meant to be a bit of time off, but they got us running around. And the guys decided, no, guys, let's actually work together at this time. There were 120 of us at that time. And then they started to say, okay, start running. And we started to walk, and we started to sing the Chozoloza. I don't know if you remember that song, Chozoloza. And there was just a sense of unity and oneness in that. We walked and we sang, we came back. And then they said, no, push-ups. And then we push-ups and we sang Chozoloza when we're actually doing push-ups together. And they were getting so cross with us. Eventually they said, you know, the 2.4 that you had to run, get all your kit on, go. We walked the 2.4 and we sang all the way, 2.4, and came back. They were so angry with us that you'd be like you're breaking their commands. Eventually they broke us up into small teams, and then they chased us. But by 10 o'clock that morning, they got so fed up, they just left and they walked away. So on Monday morning, the major calls us in and we were on orders. He says, I'm very disappointed with you. You didn't listen to your corporals and your lieutenants. But well done for working together as a team. I have never seen it before, but that's what we try and train you. We train you to work together on team together and to be united as one, and they couldn't break you when you were one together. And I just thought, the devil tries to break our teamwork. The world tries to break our teamwork. The church is on attack always that there's disunity. When disunity will come to the church, it destroys our unity, and that's where teamwork comes. And God wants to bring us into this oneness of team, of working together. Every one of you are precious. Every one of you has a gifting. Every one of you is an individual personality, and God puts us together. You never chose me, I never chose you, but God chose you and he chose me and he put us together in this place and he's put us together to work together with him. Isn't that incredible? Not only does he walk away, he says, no, I'm going to work together with you and build team. And this is the incredible outworking. So what is this team? We actually, in a caring covenantal relationship with one another, you know, we're not just bonded together by a sense of just being here. God has put us in covenant together. We're going to break bread. Also, this covenant of the new covenant, God has bonded us together with something that can never be broken. The new covenant that has placed Christ in us. And here we are, we come on team and we love one another and we love God. And then in this thing, we become friends. Isn't that incredible? God wants us to be friends. It's not just the function of so-called doing church. There's got to be a depth and there's got to be a transparency. But as we do and we follow the Lord, we become friends and we work out things. And that's why we try and work out the aspects of not isolating you, but get us to a place so that we can build friendships and we can do things together. Out of this also, we learn to be servant-hearted. We don't just look for our own needs. We come to a place where we lay down ourselves. And when we do that willingly and we learn to submit to one another, then this wonderful joy of working together. You know, we had an opportunity. We went cycling yesterday morning and we landed up getting in the rain. But it's when we work together in the rain and all those difficulties and the guys in front there and say, watch out for the pothole and get out of my spray. And, you know, when that's just the joy of doing that thing. You know, there's just that oneness. And I was really battling yesterday. And, you know, Mark came alongside me and waited for me. And the guys waited for me. And it was just, I had a bad day, but I had a good day because they pulled me. And it was just something, this aspect of team, that you're not always going to have a great day. And you're not always going to be on top of your game. But we together, we love one another, and we can work this thing together. And then in this team, there's an aspect of communicating. There's times to talk. And it's not just communicating actions, but just in that friendship to be able to chat and to talk. I've watched the kids, my children have got the opportunity to be online. And what has been the saddest thing of this COVID of studying online, it's been fantastic. I think they've learned a lot and learned more online. But the reality, they've lost the social interaction and the communicating with others, their peers and people of their same age and working those things out. But even in the church, and I'm just so glad this restrictions have been lifted and we can be here together and we can actually fellowship with and we can communicate with. And that's why, do not isolate yourself. And sometimes you might be a shy person. That's fine. If you're an introvert, you might be an extrovert. But make time to step out of yourself and to communicate with those around you. Isn't that important? That's why we want a fellowship, getting part in a life group and going forward. But you know, on team, it doesn't always work out well. Sometimes there's conflict. But let me just say to you, conflict is not a bad thing. If it's done with the right heart, if it's done with truth and it's done with love, we need to walk through those things because, you know, in discipling, it's difficult at times. We all sometimes have blinkers on our eyes and we think, well, we know it all. I don't know it all. I'm also a work in progress. And I've got a wonderful tutor. Her name is Nikki. She sees more than I see. And I'm learning to humble myself before my wife because there's a lot of wisdom that comes out of her. So husbands, say thank you for your wives. They're a blessing. But if you don't have a husband or you don't have a wife at this stage, you've been placed in a church, you've been placed in a family to bring you through. So don't harden your heart when conflict happens. Submit, hear what has been said, take it to God and allow God to work in that. So the devil comes to destroy the team that God's trying to build. So how does he work that and how does life work? There's when there's disunity, there's discord. yes, we have different opinions and we have different perspectives, but we've got to find commonality to work this thing out. Do not allow that. And the problem is we've got an old nature that comes to snare us again. And that aspect that all of us have a major problem with is criticism and slander and rumor mongering. And that thing, we find that it's so enticing. It's like a lovely morsel. We find it so easy to, we've got to build that thing out. And the Lord spoke very clearly. It happened to Moses and his team, and Miriam and Aaron came and criticized, and God stood against it. And God doesn't tolerate that thing because it destroys God. Anything that stands against this unity of his team, he comes quickly to sing, and he comes and he convicts us of that thing. And we've got to deal with that. And how do we deal with that? We deal with that through repentance and confession, quickly to do that. And then the fruit of the flesh, you know, we, that fleshly nature that we all deal with, that rears its ugly head at times, that thing comes in and that needs to be clobbered and sorted out, because Christ in you gives the authority over that. Galatians 5 tells us about what does the flesh do? It brings sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. It's terrible what the flesh can do if we let it rule and reign. And then our heart condition, we need to make sure that our heart is tender and supple and open to God and open to one another. And when we come with peace in our hearts, it brings freedom in those things. So we just got to ensure we get our heart condition to go forward. So what is a mark of a team member? Willingness. Want to be on team. That's important, that you've got to be. You need to be in a place that you can be trusted. You need to be in a place that you'll be faithful and full of faith in the way you speak, the way you think, in the way you walk in life, your body language. Can I tell you, body language is such a key thing, the way that you do things. And if you want a skill to see where people are, I remember when we were still in the business world, watch people's body language. They can say so much through the way they actually carry themselves, rather than just by saying words. So you can see when people's not in the right place. We it's incredible. You wear your heart on your body, and we got to ensure that we carry ourselves well. Learn to forgive on team. You know, I don't say this proudly, but I'm telling you, unfortunately, I'm sure a lot of you have actually been hurt in the church because we are human, and sometimes we walk in the flesh. And sometimes you haven't responded to that, and you haven't seen the truth of that, and you've got offended because you've got a sense of self-righteousness. But I'm just saying to you, make sure God teaches us how to deal with those things is always to forgive. We have no right not to forgive. God has given us, as much as he's given us the authority to use the name of Jesus, he's given us the authority to forgive. And forgiveness is powerful. Powerful. You know, in the times when I've done marriage counseling with folk and there's major problems and it comes out and whatever the issue is, but a lot of the time the root of it is unforgiveness. And I'm telling you, we got to ensure that unforgiveness doesn't get any root in us, because what does that do? It brings distraction. It brings resentment. It brings bitterness. It's ugly. It's ugly. It's filthy. And we've got to root that thing out. So let's ensure that we learn to forgive quickly. I want to say, as the scripture says, before the sun goes down, make sure you've dealt with those issues where there's any broken relationships. We have no right to be in a place of walking in unforgiveness. And then be submissive to one another, be accountable to one another, take responsibility, be supportive, and speak well of one another. So we get to this point here where I'm saying, that's what a team is, and God's placed us in a team. And I want to just say, on behalf of the elders, we're a team, all of us. It's not just the eldership team and the deacon team and you. It's all of us. We are one team working together. And you need us and we need you. And God's got a job for us to do as a church and to go forward. And this thing of being working as a team is so important. You know what's happened in the past? And hear my heart, what I'm actually saying is in this thing. God's put you on his team. But we've got to the place to say, well, if I volunteer, that's fine. I will get involved. But I want to just say today, I don't believe that's God's heart. Every single one of you on God's team, every single one of you on this team of this church, do you realize that? You don't have to volunteer. Your name's in. God's put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're in his team. And I wanted to say where we are today is that we all need to be team players. And where we're going forward, there is an incredible need in the life of the church where we are. We don't have the privilege to sit back and watch anymore. We all need to be involved. And I want to, where we're going, just into this new season here, I need every single one of you involved in the life of what God's actually doing in this church. We don't have the privilege to sit back and observe. We all got to put our hand to the, you know, when I was still at the Methodist church and there was an elderly couple, they were going to Australia to be with their family in Australia. And he was asked the question, what is the most important thing that you could ever do in his church? And I put my hand up. I said, no, it's love. It's love. It's love. And he said, no, no. And he walked with the Lord many years. And he said, I want to just share with all of you today, what is the most important thing? He said, get involved. And when I heard that, and I started to put my hand up in my heart and say, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you call me to do. And I've tell you now, this has been the grace of God. It's not always easy to serve. But where I've put my hand up to serve, God has come through in an incredible way and has trained me. And I'm telling you now, every one of you, you need to serve. If you want to find Christ, you've got to serve. So there are many needs in the life of this church. And I'm going to go through some of them, and we're going to work together. And I'm not going to ask you to volunteer. We're going to approach you to please get involved where we can, where you can be actually used. So what are the needs? We've got screening taking place. There's hosting to take place here. We've got teas we've got to do. There's catering to do. There's setting up this facility. We can't expect the few to just to do the setup of this facility. We can't just arrive here and it's all happy and fun. There's stuff that takes place here. There's a lot. There's chairs we put out, things to do. We all need to get involved with that. Children's church. We got such a need with children's church. We only got 3 teachers at this time. How do we grow that ministry? And you might say, well, I'm not a school. I can't teach children. No. God can do anything through you. If you're available, and we make sure it's not onerous, but we all got to be involved in that. The youth. We need people involved with the youth. We need repairs and maintenance. We've got a facility to do here. Some of you are really skilled in that area, but we need to get involved. There's stuff to be done around here. There's not only repairs here, but in your home. Some of you are single ladies and you've got homes and you don't even know how to change a washer on your tap. Now to get a plumber in, it's 800 rand, but one of us could come in there and do that, and it's a few hours to be able to do that. It's the visitation there. People need to be visited. We need to get back to visiting people. That's an important aspect that all of us need to be involved in. Some of us need to be doing that, caring for others. It's the worship team, and you don't understand the sacrifice that goes with the worship team, the AV, the sound, this media, worshiping Sunday bus. There's a lot that goes behind that. And I want to say thank you to that team, especially the administration, the organizing. There's stuff to be taken place. There's the IT that Sean actually helps with, caring for the sick, caring for the poor, evangelizing, prayer. Oh, prayer is also what being part of team in this process. Get involved in life group. The many, many, many needs. So I'm going to be taking the liberty is that COVID has pushed us back and allowed us to become comfortable. But in this season going forward now, we're going to be ramping up, getting our team effort and all of us. And I say to you today, and don't take me bad, I'm not asking you to volunteer. You're on the team. You're on the team. And I'm going to get wherever you are, you can be involved. And we're going to nominate you, and we're going to chat through that, and we're going to release you into those things. Because I'm telling you, when you get involved, then you're going to meet people, you're going to get to know people, we're going to get to know you, and we're going to have lots of joy and lots of fun, and trust that God will work it out for that. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Ivan, and we're going to break bread together, and let's let God just continue to work in our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.